Good morning, everybody. We are blessed this morning to have our RV volunteers who work with US Maps. Would you welcome David and Linda this morning as they come and share? And they're going to come and share their heart today.
Good morning, church. Woo! It's a beauty out there, isn't it? I'm just going to pick up where Corey was talking about. She was saying that there's leadership coming in. There's no age limit on any ministry at all. Did you notice on that video? There were young people. They were middle-aged. They were old people. There's something for everybody. You don't have to have an RV. You don't have to want to do anything that you don't want to do. Now, I'm going to tell you about us. The rest of it's going to be his. Okay, Dave and Linda Miracle. Dave worked at Raytheon for over 40 years. And as we're getting ready to come into retirement, we said, okay, Lord, we're too healthy, we're too active, what do you want us to do? And we had a visiting person come, like we are to you, talk about maps. Wow, never had an RV in our lives, had no clue of what camping was like, didn't know anything. If for any of you that have camped, black water, gray water, what's the difference? Well, gray water is sewer. You don't mix those two up. Okay. So we said, okay, let's get into this. So in March of 2000, we were approved MAPS RV volunteers. Woohoo! So we said, okay, for 8 years, we did part-time. Anywhere within a 400-mile radius of where we lived, we could get to and work for a few days. And then come back, and we used his vacation time. We had a ball. We did. We really had a ball. And we said, this is so much fun. I mean, you sit around campfires, and you roast those marshmallows or whatever you want to cook, and you just share stories. You meet fantastic people who are willing to give of their time. Now, think of all the experiences that you people have, how much ministry that you've done over the time. You can share that. There are teen challenge centers that would love to have somebody come and stay, that the women can go and help some of these women who are, really, they're little girls, are having babies, and they need somebody to teach them how to take care of their babies. I mean, there's so much that's out there. All right, back to us. Okay, so when we came to retirement, we said, okay, now what are we going to do? We owned a house up in Andover, Massachusetts. Can't leave it up there in the wintertime. Pipes freeze, heating goes off, it's not good. So we sold our house with much tears. We had lived in there over 35 years, raised our children there. That was sad. However, we bought a big RV, which we would not bring in here. No. Somebody said, well, we thought there'd be an RV out there. No. We don't pull that around into inner cities ever, if we can get away with it. Although, if any of you attended Southern New England District Council, well, it's not that anymore, but anyway, what it's called now, we did bring it there, because Bob Wise had asked us to bring it, so you would have seen it. But anyway, so we now have a bus, so to speak. It is parked at the University Valley Forge, and we leave it there, and then come out, and we stay in hotels. It's actually cheaper than bringing the RV that gets 5 miles to a gallon diesel. So, and then if you come into somewhere like this, where are you going to park it? I mean, we're 42 feet long. Where are you going to put it? And how are you going to get it in around some of these turns that we even had trouble with the car? So anyway, that's why we don't bring it. But anyway, I just want to encourage you. Think over the experiences that you have in your lives, what you could share with people. And you don't have to even leave this area. There's a teen challenge not too far from here, as I remember. And where? Brockton. Okay. And, I mean, you can contact them and say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. Do you need somebody to wash the toilets? Start there. Everybody loves to wash toilets, don't they? And then you can teach the kids how to do this, because some of these kids have no clue of anything. But I mean, see, this, when you get that kind of mindset, there's so much that you can do. How do you sweep a floor without creating a dust storm? You know, I mean, have you ever asked a boy to sweep the floor? It's like a dust storm. You know, just, okay, we'll teach you how. So, I mean, see, there's so much that you can do. So I encourage you to go to this leadership thing, because I'll tell you, at this stage of our lives, we could be sitting down on a beach and getting tan and cancer and all of that. However, you know, you caught that, didn't you? But I mean, use your time. God gave you this stuff to learn. Now pass it on. I'm going to pass this on. Okay.
And now for the dull portion. She brings me along just so that I can calm her down. You know, like Hemi and Over the Hedge. She's had too much coffee this morning. First of all, I want to thank the pastor staff. And remember to thank Pastor Selwyn when he comes back from his Royal Ranger outing. Thank him for letting us come in here. Linda told you that I was an engineer. We went into MAPS just to be volunteers and help building. Now, for some of you people who remember Royal Rangers, red straight arrows, red vests, well, we aren't the biggest straight arrows you've ever seen. This is also the RV volunteer symbol of a red vest, and these patches are projects that we have worked on. And if you look at the front, they'll be somewhere around the Northeast, New England, New York. When we started going out after retirement, we get southern projects because RVers don't stay in the north in the winter. Because what feeds our fresh water is a garden hose. Well, it's potable, but it freezes. Now, we do have a freshwater tank, so you could use it, but it'll get awful cold on the floors in the morning. So, just like the snowbirds, we pack up in the north and we go down south, somewhere in the southwest, somewhere around the Gulf of Mexico. And then when it gets too hot in there, March, April, we come back up north. So we're not just out to work and beat ourselves up. We advise people when they're new RVers, don't go from project to project to project. I mean, you get a lot of work done, but you're going to burn out. And I would rather see a guy work 6 or 8 months a year and not burn out for 15 or 20 years rather than have a guy work 12 months a year and burn out in 5, because we get more work out of him. There's other parts of MAPS, Mission America Placement Service. And those of you that are not into construction, you don't want to have an RV, you don't want to travel like that. There are other elements you've seen on the video, missionary associates. Now, that can be any age adult, college student, even a high school student, go out for a summer internship. And as you heard, the missionary associates, summer interns, they raise their own money, they get approved through our national office, but then they go to support a church, usually a small church, a church plant. And when they do that, they're providing free labor to the church. And small churches don't have the ability that you have here of supporting a staff. So this is a real shot in the arm to help a church. We also have church teams where guys can get together and go out on construction, or people in the church can get together and go out on evangelism. So all of our elements are volunteer. The biggest group is the RV volunteers. Now, one of the main reasons we were founded was to help a church plant. A church that has a stable congregation of 50, 75, 80, and they need a building, because communities don't look at a church that's renting space, like in a cafeteria or whatever, as a church. I mean, you folks have the ability to be in a church building, so people in the community still look at you as a church. But if you're just in a rented community center, they don't think you're real. It's called fly by night. They're not sure when you're going to close and move on. So we worked with this project in Berryville, Florida. 60 to 80 stable every Sunday. They had purchased land. They couldn't raise enough money in the building fund to build their church. The young pastor went to his district superintendent and said, "How do I ever get over the hump?" And the district superintendent told him, "Why don't you check into RV Volunteers? They build churches." So he found out who we were. And for 2 winters, we were down with 10 to 12 other RV couples, and we helped build their church. The first Sunday for dedication, they had over 300 people in church. Now, it's dedication, so a lot of friends and family come in. The first Easter after dedication in November, they had 383 souls in that church. They had a children's church that blew out of their room into the fellowship hall. They had chairs around the wall of the sanctuary because it was so full. And in 2 years when we went back to visit, they had gone to 2 services. So here's a church that wasn't getting accepted. We helped them build a building, and now they've blown out to the point where they want to build another building for the children programs. So what we do is not so much evangelize, but we give the pastors tools so that they can evangelize their community. So if anyone here, if God has placed it on your heart to do any type of volunteer work, just come and see us at the table after, and we'll get you connected to the office. And we want to thank you all for your time and for your prayer support. That's always necessary as we're traveling around. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, guys, we're going to pray for David and Linda. I'm going to ask the board if you would come up, and the staff, Smitha, Pastor Lori, if you guys would come up. And this is huge, and what these guys do is pretty amazing. You don't have to offer an entire year or even a lifetime to do this. But if you have skills in carpentry, drywall, electrical, plumbing, painting, masonry, HVAC, heavy equipment, handyman, architecture, engineering, clerical work, administration, roofing, and there's so many other things that you're able to do. Maybe God is calling you to give a weekend or a week or a couple of weeks or maybe even a couple of months. And if God is tugging on your heart for missions, and you just don't know how, and maybe you're thinking, hey, I can't preach, and I can't sing, or I can't play an instrument, but I got my hands, and I have these skills. That's where God wants to use you, and you need to come, and you need to come and talk to David and Linda. Folks, would you stretch out your hands, and I'm going to ask Dr. Ezza if he would lead us in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful couple that you have called, because we know you have called them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing what they are doing. You've called them into service. You've called them to help further your kingdom. You've called them to win souls for you by doing God's work, by taking the skills you've given to them, by making themselves available to do your work. We just want to thank you for their obedience. We want to thank you for giving them the good health, for giving them the resources, for giving them the strength, and for making them, oh Lord, yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit in this area. Father, we pray, oh Lord, for their ministry, that you will expand their course, oh Lord. Just as, like you answered the prayer from Jabez, oh Lord, would you expand their course, that they will do even more for you, that will touch even more lives for you. Would you continue to protect them, oh Lord? Protect them at all times against the enemy, Protect them against every adversity, O Lord. Strengthen them even more. Give them more strength in their bodies, in their minds, spiritually and physically, O Lord, that they will continue to work in your vineyard. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will bless them more than they would ever imagine. Pressed down, shaking, and running over because they are doing your work. Would you have your way, O Lord, as they go? Lead them and be with them at all times. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Oh, have the board stay, just the board. Sorry, Barbara. Good morning. A few weeks ago, when Pastor Selwyn came up here and made an announcement about what the Lord has put in his heart, he and Lori, and how they've been called into the mission field, we looked around. There was no dry eye in this place. People were weeping, and it was a gloomy day. But the board did speak with you on that day, and we said we don't have the answers. So we don't have the answers. But we were not worried. We were not concerned. And the reason we were not concerned was because we know the one who has the answers, and that we were going to follow the direction of the one who has the answers. And so this morning it's my privilege on behalf of the board to share with you what has been happening so far. We called upon you to pray and fast Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we know that you have prayed and fasted. You know how we know? We know because the hand of God has been heavy on this process. And everything that's happened so far has been orchestrated by the God that we serve. And he deserves our praise and honor this morning. The board has been praying and fasting. And we prayed in so many different areas. And every time we pray, we are reminded that this is not Pastor Selwyn's church. It's not Pastor Rennie's church. It's not Pastor Beth's church. It's not the board's church. It is God's church. And Christ is the head of the church. And so as we went through the process, because we wanted to make sure that we went through the process as the Lord leads the board. We did mention to you that we were not only going to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit, but would reach out to the district as well, because that is typically the direction. And then, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we came in here, and there was a prophetic word. And the word was very, very specific. I think Corey alluded to that this morning. And I'm looking around for the other board members so I can catch their eyes. Because the Tuesday before that Sunday, after much prayer and fasting, the board had met and arrived at a recommendation that we were going to bring to you. And so we came in here and the Holy Spirit basically took the minutes of the board meeting and read it to you. And so after that message, we went back and we had our meeting with the district. So Pastor Bob Wise, who's our district superintendent, was kind enough to come in to speak with us. And he came with his assistant, who's also a pastor, Pastor John Blunt. And we had a wonderful, wonderful meeting with them. The board had earlier on determined that the search committee or the pulpit committee would be the board. And we invited Sharon. Sharon, I'm not going to make you walk all the way up here unless you want to. But we invited Sharon to be a part of that. For most of you who do not know, Sharon was a seasoned deacon here for years and has a lot of experience in this area as well. So we met with Pastor Bob, and we shared with him. We said, you know, here's what the board is thinking. Here's what we're going to present to the congregation, and we need your guidance. So he talked us through a bunch of things, hinging, obviously, on the scriptures. And so what we want to do today is share with you what the board has laid, what the Lord has laid in the heart of the board. At the end of the day, we want to remind you that this is your church. This is God's church and it's your church. You're God's children, so it's your church as well. And the final decision in all of this is with you as the Lord leads you. But we want to share with you what the Lord has laid in our heart as we go through the process. But more importantly, we want to ask you to continue to pray. We want to ask you, we haven't gone through the entire process yet. We're still going through it. And so we still need your prayers. Even if we don't remind you on Tuesdays and Thursdays to pray and fast, we want you to continue to do that. So the Lord will give us the direction and take this whole process to where he wants it to be. So the decision, I'm sure you're waiting. What is it? So the board did pray and fast, and the Lord led us on our heart. 100% of us. One of the beautiful things about this church is we have always had unity. That it is a new season at Glad Tidings Church. And just like Pastor Selwyn has preached many times, Moses' season is come and gone. It is now time to turn it over to Joshua. And the board believes that this new season is supposed to be led by Pastor Rennie. Awesome. Well, it's good to hear you cheering and not throwing tomatoes at us. Because then we're just going to turn around and blame it on the Holy Spirit anyway. Right? So Pastor Rennie has been here for many years and we've watched him. We've been with him. We've watched him as a worship leader. We've watched him as associate pastor. And we've seen the hand of God upon him. And as Pastor Bob Wise reminded us, the anointing that's going to be upon him is going to be different from the anointing that was upon Pastor Selwyn. And the direction, even though the vision of the church may not change, every leader has their own styles as they're led by the Spirit. So what we would like to do is, as we're telling you today that we're formally making that recommendation as a board, to you, that it be Pastor Rennie. Come July 2nd, Pastor Rennie is going to be preaching to you. And he will be preaching because we need for you to hear his heart. We need for you to hear what the Lord has laid in his heart to share with the congregation. Okay? So that's one of the steps. And then, after that, come July the 9th, we're going to have an informational session right after service. Pastor Ronnie will not be here for that. This is going to be our opportunity, all of you, to ask whatever questions you may have, whatever concerns you may have, any advice that you may want to give to the board as we go through this process. We want to spend the time with you and make sure that you, well, we're hoping you're hearing from the Lord as well as you're praying through this, that whatever you have been hearing, that you have the opportunity to share that with us. So that is something that will happen in the next few weeks. Okay? Obviously, after that, we will schedule the time for the actual voting. All right? So we will unveil all of that. At the end of the day, you will need to vote to make this happen. And it's Sharon who always said this to us. The Lord works with green lights, and he works with red lights as well. Right? So we need for you to continue to pray so that the Lord will say, do this or don't go in that direction. If the Lord changes course for us, it's his church. We'll go wherever he leads us. So please continue to pray for that. But this is what we wanted to share with you today. And we want to encourage you to please, please, please pray. We can't afford to get this wrong. And we won't get it wrong as long as we continue to hear and go in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the first time I'm hearing this. I'm just kidding. The Holy Spirit is doing something here. If you've been a part of these services and if you're continuing to pray, it just feels like we're on the cusp of something huge, huge. And so it is an honor, really, to be considered for this position at such a time as this in the life of Glad Tidings, because something's happening here. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. Today is a special day in our house. Today marks Zoe's 7th birthday, so if you see her, please wish her a happy birthday. And it also marks Smitha's little bit more than 7th birthday today. So would you join me? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha. Dear Smitha, happy birthday to you. I am blessed. I'm blessed to have such a great woman in my life who's my greatest support and my best friend. Folks, if you have your cell phone, would you take it out really, really quickly? And I just need you to mark your calendar for Sunday, August the 6th. As most of you know by now, Pastor Selwyn and Lori's last day here is Sunday, August the 6th, and the board is throwing them a huge send-off party right after their last service. And there's going to be a free lunch for you and your family, but we need to know that you're coming. So if you open up Realm on your phone, you can click on events. You can go to August the 6th, and you can register for you and your family, and make sure you mark your kids as well. Or next week, we can you can go to the back lobby, and you can sign up at the table next week. Also on that day, we're going to be collecting cards and gifts for the Bodleys in the lobby. And if you're wondering, they really can't take a whole lot to Peru, okay? And their greatest need is to raise their ministry and missions budget before they're allowed to start this pretty incredible journey. And so I'm going to ask you to pray about what you can give and how you can help our pastors in fulfilling the call that God has placed on them. This has been one crazy and exciting season for us as a church, hasn't it? We sold our building. We moved to this new place, and our senior pastor and family are being called to missions in Peru. And in the midst of all of these changes, I want to tell you that the only certain thing I can tell you is that God is in control. This morning, I believe that the Lord wants to challenge you, and I believe that the Lord wants to challenge me, that we would make this a season in our lives where we make some changes for Him, where we make some decisions for the cause of the gospel, and where we would grow in our understanding and in our knowledge of Him. And it is my prayer that we would become a church that not only has an understanding of who God is, but that we would be a people who loved Him with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And it is our longing to be a people who unashamedly lives for Christ. I mean, what would happen in this place if we lived everything that we believed? Paul talks about this group of people in the book of Titus, and he says in verse 16, he says, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him." There's a group of people, they claim to know God, and by their actions they deny Him. He's saying that here's a group of people who claim that they believe in Jesus Christ, but in their everyday lives they show that He doesn't even exist. And Paul goes on to say they're detestable, they're disobedient, they're unfit for doing anything good. You know, there was a recent poll that said that 94% of Americans believe in God. But you and I know that most of these people don't live for Him, right? They don't really know Him personally. They may believe in God, but they don't know Him. There might be even some people here who would say, look, I believe in God, but I want to do whatever I want to do, right? I want to know God just enough to keep me out of hell, right? Or I want to know God just enough to get me into heaven. I don't want so much of God that it's actually going to change my lifestyle. Well, why would anyone think this way? I mean, why would people act this way? It's because they don't really know Him. So I want to ask you this question this morning. How well do you know God? There are different levels of how you can know something, right? You can know an inanimate object just by careful observation. Like you can know the pew that you're sitting in by looking at it. You can understand the width of it and the length of it and the depth of it. You can know that the softer, better cushions are in the front pews and the lumpy cushions are kind of way at the back there. You just know it need a little bit of time to know something that's inanimate. But knowing someone is a lot more complicated, isn't it? Because people, we keep secrets. And we don't always tell each other what's really going on in our hearts. Knowing someone is a whole lot more complicated. We recognize degrees of which we know or how well we know a person. And today I want to talk to you about three groups of people and how we describe our knowledge of them. And I hope that you would be honest with yourself this morning and what category you fit in. There is this one group of people who would say, I believe in God, but I don't know Him. You know, it was about 18 years ago or so where I didn't know anything about my wife, Smitha. I was at this church camp in New York, and I was hanging out with guys at her church, and I heard about her, but I knew nothing about her. And I think this is where some people are with God. They don't know Him personally, but they've heard about Him. All right, is that you this morning? Do you think you know Him because you know a few stories about the things that He's done and the things that He said? Some people here this morning might say, I've heard the stories and I believe, and that should be enough, right? Some people think that believing is just enough, and James James says that even the demons believe and they shudder at his name. And so I want to tell you this morning that just believing in God is not enough. Maybe for some of you growing up, our parents took us to some church, and maybe for us, maybe we do some good things and still believe in God. But the truth is, if we were really honest with ourselves, we don't know him. So what happens is our actions show our lack of an intimate relationship with God. Scripture says this in 1 John. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. And the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There are a lot of people who say that they believe in him, but by their actions, they deny his existence. You might think you know him because maybe you've seen him work through your parents. And you might think that you know him because you've seen him work in your siblings, or maybe you've seen him work right here in this place. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And maybe today we would say, Lord, didn't we go to services on Sunday? And didn't we attend small groups in the middle of the week? And didn't we go to that men's retreat or that women's retreat? Didn't we go to youth group? And didn't we do some good thing? Didn't we dedicate our kids in the church? Didn't we give a dollar in the offering plate? Weren't we generally good, ethical, moral people? And Jesus is going to plainly say, I never knew you. Jesus is basically going to say, you didn't know me, and we didn't have an intimate relationship. I believe there are so many people who believe in God who just don't know him personally. And if we were honest with ourselves this morning, there are people here who need to admit, this is exactly where I am. I believe in him, but he's really not the driving force in everything that I do. I want to tell you that if you find yourself in this position, then you need to start by acknowledging it. Don't be satisfied just knowing some things about Jesus. Let me tell you that he wants to do some great things in your life today. And he wants to do some amazing, incredible things in your life today. He wants you to experience a genuine encounter with him because he has great plans that he wants to reveal to you. Don't think that getting to know him is just about following a set of do's and don'ts. It's about finding life. And it's about experiencing life abundant. It's about finding fulfillment and meaning and a purpose and your destiny. And so I encourage you today to ask the Holy Spirit to come and transform your life. There's this other group of people who I want to talk to you about today. There's these people who would say, I believe in God and I know him, but I just don't know him that well. 18 years ago, by the end of that church camp that I was at, after hearing about her, I finally met this person named Smitha, and we started getting to know each other a little bit. And after a while, we were dating long distance, and we were trying to get to know each other some more. And I think maybe this is where some people are with God as well. Where you're sort of flirting with God, right? I mean, you believe in God. You're kind of dating God. You have some interest in God, but just not exclusively. There are a lot of people who kind of, sort of know God. Maybe you had an encounter with him somewhere. Maybe you prayed and asked him to change your life, and now you have a basic understanding of who he is. And maybe there was a time when you felt close to him, but right now, if you were really honest with yourself, he's still not leading every decision in your life. You have some knowledge, but he hasn't changed your life. He hasn't changed your lifestyles, and you just don't know him all that well. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8 onwards. I'll just give you a little bit of background of what's happening here. At first, the Galatians believed in these other gods. They believed in Zeus and Hermes, and they believed in these beings that don't even exist. And so they're enslaved to the worship of these beings. And then all of a sudden, Paul arrives to Galatia, and he introduces them to God, and they found the one true God. And all of a sudden, they started teaching something that was contrary to what Paul was talking about. They said, hey, all you have to do is live by the law. All you need to do is earn your salvation by following these set of rules. And you can earn these brownie points with God by observing these special holidays and holding on to these customs. And they were told that all they needed to do was obey these codes and they can earn their salvation. And so here are the Galatians who think that they're growing spiritually. They know God, but they just don't know him that well. And this is where we pick it up in verse 8. When you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Remember, they're worshiping Zeus and Hermes. But now that you know God, or rather that you were known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved all over again? There's a lot of people here this morning who believe in God, and you kind of sort of know him, and you just don't know him that well. And so the challenge for us today is exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, if you know God, if you have had an encounter with him, if you asked him to come into your heart and change your life, then why are you turning back to your old ways? Why do some of you only believe in these old church traditions to earn your salvation? Why are you putting your hope in your education? Why are you putting your trust in your bank account? Why are you putting your faith in your teachers or your professors? Are we involved in ministry so that we can get some brownie points with God? I mean, I've had this encounter with God. I kind of sort of know him, but not really. Does that describe you this morning? Then there's this third group that I want to talk to you about this morning, and it is our hope and it is our prayer that we all grow to this point. These are people who can honestly say, I believe in God, I know him intimately, and I serve him with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my mind and with all of my strength. And so after a while, Smith and I finally got married, and we got to know each other intimately. And now more than 18 years later, if there's 100 ladies in the room, I can pick her voice out. And after all of this time, we still grow in our knowledge of each other. And as we grow older together, our lives change, don't they? They change with new circumstances. They change with new situations, but we face them together and we learn more about each other all throughout the process. And this is where some of us are with God. You know him personally. You know him intimately. You can pick his voice out in the midst of the many voices that are going on in a room. And you long to be with him as you grow in your understanding of who he is. You ever seen people go through some difficult trials in their lives? And maybe you have no idea how they managed to go through these painful situations with such peace in their lives. It's because they're people who intimately know God. And even as we speak this morning, there are people here today who are wondering, so what does it mean, or what does it look like to intimately know God? And what it means for me is that I'm more and more aware of God with me at all times. There's this increasing awareness of the power and the provision and the presence and the peace of God in my life. And it's not like God is way out there and I've got to scream and shout to try to get his attention. It's more like this ongoing conversation that says, hey, God, what do I do? What do I do next? God, where do I go? What do I say? God, would you help me in my reactions? Lord Jesus, I am so sorry for messing up. Would you forgive me? Holy Spirit, help me to be sensitive to your leading and to your guiding. And the conversation with God isn't this one-person monologue. He speaks back. He speaks through his word. And he speaks through his spirit. And he speaks through his people. And he speaks through circumstances. And there is this awareness that as my day goes on, that God is orchestrating things in my life. And it's doing life with God. It's not being led by my rationale. It's not being led by my education. It's not being led by what I read in books. It's not being convinced by those posts in Facebooks. It is being led by the Spirit of God. I want you to listen to what David says in Psalm 9, verse 10. I love this. He says, those who know your name, they trust in you. Those who know your name, they trust in you. For you, Lord, you have never forsaken those who seek you. This is an amazing statement that David makes here. Lord, you have never, ever, ever forsaken those who seek you. And I want you to know this morning that those who know God are people who still go through hardships in their lives. These are people who still undergo some painful situations in their lives. These are people who still have difficult times in their lives, but no matter what we may be facing, when we experience heartache and when we experience pain, those who know God have this understanding that in spite of whatever it is that we're facing, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us and walk away, but he'll be right there with us. And so I want to ask you this question again this morning. How well do you know God? Do you just know about him? Have you had an encounter with him, but you just kind of sort of know him? Or can you say that you have this intimate, personal relationship with him? David says, those who know your name, they trust in you. Those who know your name. By what name do you call him? I mean, is he the big guy up in the sky? I mean, is he, dear Lord, 7-pound, 4-ounce baby Jesus? Is he, dear Jesus, who is on that cross? I mean, does that describe the depth of your knowledge of God? If that's what you call him, then you really don't know him. There are some of you here this morning, though, that when you pray, you call him your healer. Because when you prayed for a healing, he's healed you. There are some of you here today who you call him your comforter, because when you needed comforting, the Spirit came and was a comfort to you. There are some of you who you call him your fortress and your rock and your strong tower, because in the midst of the storm, while everything was falling apart around you, Jesus was right there with you to bring you shelter. Some of you ladies, you had your husbands walk out on you, and you call him your husband because that's who he is to you. There are some of you here today who your dad isn't around, and he wasn't around, and when you needed a father, he was that father figure for you. For some of you, when you're alone, he's your friend. Those who can admit that when you've messed up, you call on him as your savior. And still, for others of you, he is your Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the mighty God. He is the wonderful counselor, the Lord of all, and he is the King of your life. And so how well do you know him this morning? Do you know him by any of those names today? How well do you know him? Those who know your name, they trust in you. So how do we get to know him? Over and over in Scripture, God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Some of our favorite verses. Here is God saying, hey, listen, I have great things in store for you. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans to give you hope. I have plans for your future. But in order for us to realize these plans, we got to keep reading. And this is what it says. Then you will call on me. And then you will come and you will pray to me, and then I will listen to you and you will seek me. And when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. If you seek him, you will find him, because he longs to reveal his plans to you. He longs to reveal himself to you if you seek him. So open up your eyes and begin to seek him. Open up your ears and begin to seek him. Open up your heart and begin to seek him. Open up the word and begin to seek him. You don't need a class, and you don't need a teacher, and you don't need a book. All you need to do is seek him. You know, God is taking glad tidings through a season right now where our first priority is to intimately seek him. Individually. Seek him for our family. Seek him for our ministry. Seek him for this church. The board has asked me to share a little bit about the vision that God has been dripping into me over these next 2 weeks. And the only thing that I can tell you is God is calling us to seek him. God is calling us to seek him so that we would know him. Not to get things from him. Not for a healing. Not for provision. Not even for direction for a future. But God is calling you, and he is calling me to seek him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength so that we would know him. Not to get something from him, just to know him. And when we seek him, all of these things will be added to you. Direction and healing and provision. And the plans that he has for your life and your destiny and our destiny as a church if we seek him. Let's stand together.
with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I'm going to ask if the prayer team would come forward. There's a group of people here who you don't know this God that we've been talking about. And if you want to know him, our prayer team would love to pray with you and introduce you to this Jesus, this wonderful, loving, kind, compassionate, merciful Jesus who loves you more than you can ever know. There's a group of people here this morning who you kind of had this encounter with him and you need to get deeper with him and you're not sure how, and our prayer team would love to pray with you. There's others of you here today who you know him and you love him and you serve him with everything that you have, and it doesn't matter where you are, you can always go deeper in your knowledge of who he is. And if you need a prayer for a healing or provision or whatever it is in your life, our prayer team would love to pray with you as we begin singing. But before you leave, I'm going to ask that you spend some time seeking the Lord here in this place. Begin to seek him.
We need no other hiding place. Hope is safe within your name. This we know, this we know. You promise never to forsake. What you begin, you will sustain. This we know, this we know.
It is our hope and it is our prayer that as you get to know him, that you wouldn't just believe in him, but that you would live your everyday mundane lives as though he is the King of Kings, as though he is the Lord of Lords, as though he is the resurrected one who you intimately and passionately know. We're going to spend just a little bit more time here in worship. And for some of you here this morning, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. You need to stay where you are. For others of you who need to leave and pick up your kids, you're welcome to do that. You can go through the doors on my left and my right. It is our prayer that God would have a real encounter with you this week as you seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God bless you this morning. We love you guys.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of life spent with you. So here I am. together, one full to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin. Upon